Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome back to the Candy Bag Bee. Well, your girl might be on a roll here. Let me not get too excited. All right, so before we get into the bullshit, let's get to the business. If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at itsthecandybagbee@gmail.com. I can also be reached on Facebook at The Candy Bag B, all caps, or you can reach me on Instagram at TheCandyBag_B. And that's the business. So let's get into the bullshit. Welcome back, everyone. I hope that you all are enjoying the shows that I've been doing and learning some things and all of that. So on this journey of revelation, maybe that's what I should call it, this journey of revelation, I have started to think more about the process that I went through to get to where I am. And hopefully these conversations will assist or, you know, bring about a different thought process for those of you who may be thinking, you know, separating or divorce, or if I should, you know, dissolve this relationship or whatever, just to make sure that all avenues have been exhausted and explored before you start to make the physical moves. I can say that this was a very difficult decision for me to make. And it took me about 3 or 4 years to even admit. About 4 years ago is when I started to admit that to myself that I didn't think it was going to last long. And then after that, I had to see, well, what does that look like for me? What does that look like for the kids? What does that look like for him? And, you know, they got to a point where I was, you know, reaching out and talking to different people about it just to kind of see what their train of thought was. And one thing that kind of stuck out from time to time is there are some people who felt like my reasons for leaving were not valid reasons to leave, based off of their own thoughts and viewpoints and maybe their experiences on the same topic. But what I had to learn is that my reasons are valid. Whether someone else understands those reasons or not, it doesn't matter, because my reasons are valid. So what I had to say was, okay, if he understands the reasons that I am laying out why I want to separate and divorce, if he does understand those reasonings, right, does it matter? Wow, I forgot to turn my work alarm off, even though I'm already off. My bad. So back to it. So does it matter if he does or doesn't understand? If he does not understand, am I going to change my mind? If he does understand, am I going to change my mind? And the answer to both of those were no. Now, I still provided reasons why he didn't agree. He didn't believe it. He said that I was making a single decision for the both of us, which I understood where he was coming from, but at the end of the day, I had to think about me. Could that be considered selfish? I mean, I guess it just depends on the person that you're talking to. But I also had to think about my children and what they were seeing day in and day out, and what the home atmosphere was like for them. And that isn't something that I wanted them to grow up thinking was okay. So today's topic is about, do you leave or do you stay? And what are good reasons to leave and what are good reasons to stay? Now, these are just basic reasons to leave and or stay. These may not touch everyone's reasoning, but it's just like a, you know, foundation. So there are, I found a couple, more than a couple of sites on the Googles that had a list of reasons to divorce. And then there were also a list of reasons to stay together. And I was like, oh, wow. So more people are going through these thought processes in reasoning. They're going through the reasons just like I did. So I'm going to go through the 9 reasons to divorce, and then I'll go back and delve into each one of them. And I won't be rushing this time because I'm not sleepy like I was last year. I mean, last week. All right. So 9 reasons to divorce. You have a lack of love and affection, marrying too young, differing needs in the bedroom, infidelity, contempt, emotional or physical abuse, drug or alcohol abuse, financial issues, and growing apart. Those are all actually really good reasons, right? But I'll say the lack of love and affection, differing needs in the bedroom, financial issues, and growing apart are the ones that people will say, oh, that's not enough of a reason to leave. But to me, it's like, well, if I'm not happy, I shouldn't be here, especially if my partner isn't actively working towards keeping it together as well. So let's start back at the beginning and go through each one. So a lack of love and affection. So ask yourself, when was the last time you said I love you or held your partner's hand? Start there. Emotional and sexual intimacy go hand in hand. And without these elements, couples will often drift apart because they don't feel a connection. Affection in a relationship is vital to the longevity of that connection. Therefore, it is a fact that a lack of affection carries a strong potential to ruin relationships. Showing affection in your relationship is critical, not just in physical affection, but also on an emotional and mental level. So what I realized while I was going through these things is this literally goes back to compatibility, the 5 parts of compatibility, or the 5 types of compatibility. And with love and affection, you know, I've said before that I've never really been an affectionate person. I don't really like to be touched by people in general. But I've started to soften on that because I'm with someone and I have friends and family where physical touch, it makes me feel good. I feel warm. I feel loved. I feel cared for and thought about, you know? So for me, if I don't feel those things for someone, I'm not going to allow you to touch me. And I'm not going to touch you either. And it is definitely one of the things that I struggled with a lot in the marriage was physical touch, like touching him. That was his number one love language. And it was a struggle for me. Like, and I mean a struggle, like we had very, very difficult conversations about the lack of touch that he received from me. And what it did was I had to force myself to remember to touch him. to hug him, to hold his hand. And I shouldn't have had to do that. In hindsight, I see that our connection wasn't strong, because if it was, I wouldn't have had to force myself to do it. And I take all the accountability for that, because that is on me. I did not feel like I was liked enough. You know, it was a conundrum, you know, because I don't have to be touched. That was my motto. I don't have to be touched. So touching someone else, it didn't cross my mind, because that wasn't a need that I had, a need or a want that I had at that time. But I understand now why I didn't have that need or want. And it was simply based off of emotional safety and security, which I honestly don't think either of us provided to the other person. I didn't provide a safe enough emotional space for him to be able to open up to me. And he also did not provide an emotional space for me to be able to let my wall and my guard down, like all the way. It was down a little bit, but it wasn't down all the way. So I do know, and, you know, looking back, I understand that that was a major part of the relationship that we didn't see eye to eye on, the physical touching aspect, the non-sexual contact. We did not see eye to eye on. All right, so we're going to move on to number two, which is, you know what? Pause. Let me not do that. Let me go back. So now, the partner that I have now, if you saw us together and you knew me from when I was with my husband, you would see two different people. And this is not a bad thing. It just is what it is. I am way more affectionate. I am always touching him, holding something. I'm going to be somewhere on you. My toe going to be on you, my foot, my hand, somewhere. We ride in the car. I'm rubbing his hand, his head, things of that nature. And I know it is because I have a safe emotional space. This is no shade to my ex. It's just that different people bring out different things. You know, that's literally what it is. Different people bring out different parts of you. And that's what I had to understand and not feel guilty about. It just is what it is. We were not compatible in the ways that mattered to the both of us. However, on the flip side, I know what compatibility feels like. I know what it feels like now to be compatible with someone in multiple ways. So if you are noticing that the love and affection in your relationship is lacking, or you can't remember the last time that you all cuddled or held, you know, think about how important that is to you. And if that is a conversation that the two of you can have to get to a space to where you get back to that or start new. Hey, my needs for love and affection have changed throughout the years. Yes, I know I needed ... 10 years ago, but now I need ding, ding, ding. Well, that sounded like dig, 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 but you know what I mean. So, all right, the second reason to divorce, this could be another reason to divorce, is you got married too young. I can honestly say that I got married too young. Yes, I was 30, but I didn't have the emotional intelligence and the emotional capabilities to understand what I needed in a marriage to feel and be happy, to have joy and enjoy being married. a friend of mine and I, we were talking, and her motto is, she said, I don't think people should get married before 40. Because by the time you get 40, you really, really know what you want and what you need. For the majority of people, we do. You know, there are anomalies on in every area of life. But we're only speaking to the reasonably thinking people who have healed, know how to communicate like that. And I actually agree with her. I know more about me now than I did 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And while I don't regret the decision, I do not regret the experience because it actually brought me to where I am. I would be curious to see, you know, if I didn't get married at 30, where I would be now. And would I have been more prepared to be married at after 40 versus trying to hurry up and get married to have this societal white picket fence and all American marriage bullshit. But statistically, couples who get married under 30 and definitely under the age of 25, the divorce rates are higher, which actually makes sense to me. So we got number three, differing needs in the bedroom. Maybe your partner wants an open marriage and you definitely don't. Your sex drives are mismatched, or you've discovered that they're really into something that doesn't turn you on in the least bit. And no matter the issue, sexual incompatibilities can drive a wedge between you and your partner. And if you can't come to an agreement or a negotiation, they use compromise, but I don't like the word compromise. So if you can't come to an agreement or negotiation, one of you might end up seeking satisfaction or comfort outside of your marriage. Number three is very, very much important. And while sex does not, it's not the totality of a relationship, it holds a pretty heavy weight in whatever capacity of importance it is for you. Because while you can be non-physically intimate with a partner, a friend, you know, hugging and cuddling and all of that, the sexual compatibility actually matters in a marriage. Because there are times where that kind of seals the deal. If there was a disagreement, or you're able to come back together and connect in a loving sexual way, you know, lovingly sexual way. Or if you like it a little rough, you know, after an argument or whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat or finds your lost remote. It's definitely a difficult conversation to have, but it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had. What do you like sexually? What don't you like sexually? You know, we tried the open marriage thing, and I said numerous times, hey, if this isn't your bag, you don't have to do this. Don't feel obligated to do so. But my thing always was, you can't say you don't agree with something, but then you're doing it. You're doing said thing you say you don't agree with and don't necessarily want to do. Now, whatever excuses or reasons you have for doing that, that's fine. But the beginning statement of, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't feel comfortable with that, is null and void the moment you start doing it. To me, other people may feel differently, and you have the freedom to do so. So thus far, we've covered a lack of love and affection, being married too young, and differing needs in the bedroom as reasons that you can divorce. And here's the thing, if all of these other things do not play into it and differing needs in the bedroom is where y'all struggle the most, it's okay to divorce because of that. It is okay to divorce because you all are not sexually compatible. Especially if the lack of sexual compatibility is affecting everything else in the relationship. So number four, we have infidelity. And yes, cheating is a valid reason to divorce. If cheating is okay for you, that's fine. If it's not, that's fine. You just have to determine, you know, how high on the Richter scale that falls for you. There are people who have stayed together after someone cheated. There are those who divorced after the first incident. Every person reacts to cheating in a different way. And it's easy to say what you will or will not do until you are in that position. Okay. So then we have contempt. This one is a doozy. All right, so contempt is when you begin to see them as beneath you, that is a major red flag. Feeling contempt for your partner and showing it through eye rolls, put downs, sneering, and name calling is the most destructive predictor of divorce. The message is that you don't respect them or appreciate what they have to offer, which erodes any remaining love or admiration. It is a vicious cycle. So rather than sharing your frustrations and needs with each other, you always see your partner as the problem and as such end up playing the blame game. When you feel attacked, angry, or hurt, you then counterattack your partner to defend yourself and gain a sense of control or release feelings. So these kind of interactions, the interactions of contempt and feeling attacked and all of that, they become missed opportunities for connection, understanding, and empathy. I've been in a space of contempt. And I know I was giving it, and I was definitely receiving it. We were both doing it to each other. And the one thing that I will always hold myself accountable for the part that I played in something. And I know that I held contempt for him. And I know that he held contempt for me. And that was definitely the beginning of the end. He definitely started to become a parent, just in actions and words from both ends, which can be very difficult to deal with. But it would be a different story if it was only coming from one way. We were both doing it to each other. So I can attest to the fact of how deeply contempt towards your partner can affect your relationship. And it is not a good feeling at all. Yeah. Okay. So now we have emotional or physical abuse. Your partner shows a need to control you, demand that you fulfill their needs, but ignores yours. They fail to take responsibility for their side of the relationship by blaming you, they gaslight you, which is making you question your own judgment and conception of reality, and explode in angry outbursts, tearing you down, or even physically or sexually hurting you. That is a reason to divorce. Being emotionally abused, mentally abused, financially abused are reasons to divorce. Period. Period and point blank. You don't have to stay for that, especially if they are not in a space of accepting that that is an issue and they want to actively work towards resolving that and getting help for that, which should be therapy. Those are valid reasons. to divorce. That gaslighting, that does not feel good. I know what that feels like. The anger outburst, I know what that feels like. Like, so it's no, you're not getting hit physically, but you're getting hit emotionally, which can cause more damage because those physical wounds will heal. Those emotional wounds don't tend to heal as quickly as other types of hits. Okay, so we also have drug or alcohol abuse. Substance abuse was cited as a reason for a third of divorces. If one or both partners are struggling with addiction, it is a huge stress on your marriage and family. And when you are more in love with your idea of who your partner could be rather than who they are right now, which is potential, you are much more likely to end your marriage. I think that can be said for all of these. When you find you're more in love with the idea of who your partner could be rather than who they actually are, you are placing yourself in a position to stay in the cycle. We have to see people for who they are. That can be difficult at times because you feel like I love you and I've shown you that I love you, and you know, we can't seem to get past this one thing, and we're always arguing, and you out here going on binges and using all the bill money to, and it's your hope, wishes, and dreams for someone mean nothing if they don't feel them for themselves. If they don't have the same or similar hopes, dreams, and aspirations for themselves, what you think don't mean shit. It don't mean a goddamn thing. I will say that in my experience, the drug and alcohol abuse is twofold, because you have the enabling and codependent part of it that you also have to resolve, and then seeing them for who they are. And all of those things go hand in hand. And it's not a difficult decision to make, especially depending on how deep your enabling and codependency lies. Like, how deep is that? And it's usually based off of how long you've known the person or been married to them. Yeah, it took a long time for someone very close to me to say, nope, I'm not gonna keep doing this. I'm done. And I know that wasn't that was a difficult decision to make, because you want them to want better for themselves, and you want better for themselves, but they have to want better. They have to want that way more than you want it. Yeah, been there. Been there. Been there. All right. So now we have financial issues. That is definitely a valid reason to divorce. So it's easy to avoid talking about money before you get married. It's not a fun conversation to have, especially if you're burdened with a lot of debt, or you're not proud of your current salary or your credit score. But money, or the lack thereof, can be a major stressor in a marriage. It sure can. It sure can. It sure can. And also how you view money. You have a saver and a spender, but if the spender doesn't respect the saver enough to, hey, here, take this. This is for our savings. Like, you still have to be able to negotiate and have those conversations with your partner about, hey, how do you view finances? You know, what can you teach me about finances? Here's what I learned about finances. There has to be an open dialogue and communication when it comes to finances, and not all this secretive, I'm going to hide every piece of money that I make. Oh, no, you don't need to know what's in my bank account. Now, you can still have a account, you know, a joint account for bills, and then you can have your individual or however you all see fit. But I do think that both people should be able to be transparent enough to let their partner know what your salary is, how much you make an hour if you're hourly, and you know what that looks like, and bring your finances together, because ultimately you're working together, right? If you're working together, then you work together. But that's where financial compatibility comes into it, and being on the same page, having the same goals in life, similar or same, and being able to adjust those goals, you know, together. So then the last one that we have is good reasons to divorce is growing apart. And this is one that a lot of people, they say, oh, that's not a good enough reason. But actually it is, because everyone isn't meant to be forever. Marriage isn't meant to be forever. It doesn't have to be forever. There may be a reason that you needed to meet this person. That's how I feel. I met him. We got married. We had these experiences in order to get me to where I am now. I have peace. I have joy. I am living on my own with the kids. I'm paying bills by myself. Everything in here is in my name. I've never done that before. So if I had to experience all that to have the strength and courage to leave, to do this, then it was worth it to me. But that's me. That's how I view it. So growing apart, right? As you go through life together, growth and change are sure to come. But minor and major shifts like career changes, loss and grief, new hobbies, new social groups, or even starting therapy, ooh child, can become a catalyst for distance to grow between you. That is why it is essential for you to communicate through these times to make sure you're growing together rather than apart. And I can tell you right now, we grew apart. When I started therapy, man, loss and grief and not handling that, man, new hobbies, career changes, not understanding that life just changes. We're going to change who we should not be. I am 42 years old. I should not be the same person I was when I was 32. At all, none whatsoever. But there are a lot of people, men and women, he, she, thee, they, them, all the rainbows, all the colors on a rainbow, who think that things aren't supposed to change, that whatever the agreements were when you met, when you became a couple, it is supposed to always be like that. And that is how you grow apart, because you're not giving your partner room to grow and become their own person. And for you all to grow together, that growing apart is a major one. And in all of these things, if both people are not actively working towards resolving these type of issues, you are definitely going to get a divorce, or you're going to stay together and be miserable as a motherfucker. And I know for me, I prefer not to be miserable as a motherfucker. That ain't something that I like. Okay. So let me go back over those, and then we're going to move on to reasons to stay married. And some of that shit is some bullshit. So we going to see. All right. So 9 reasons to divorce. So you have a lack of love and affection, marrying too young, you have differing needs in the bedroom, infidelity, you have contempt towards each other, there's emotional or physical abuse, drug and alcohol abuse or alcohol abuse, you're having financial issues, or you just grew apart. Those are reasons, valid reasons to divorce. And even with those valid reasons, it doesn't make it any easier to make the decision to actually pull the trigger, so to speak. Yes, it's not an easy conversation to have with yourself, and it's definitely not an easy decision to make. All right, so now we're moving on to 9 reasons to stay married. The ones that I think is bullshit, I'm gonna say it, but you know, that's just because that's how I think about it, but it don't have to be bullshit to you. All right, so again, you know, I'm gonna go through all of it, and then we're gonna come back and speak in depth. So, 9 reasons to stay married. Things can get better. Others have it worse. You can thrive after hard times. Children need their number one fan. Your children need one home. You can fall in love again. You'll grow as a person. You are your child's role model. And being a single parent isn't easy. I think y'all probably can tell which ones I'm going to be like, this is some motherfucking bullshit on. But we're going to go through them and we're going to talk through them. So the first one, things can get better. Improvement won't happen magically. But there are some practical, relatively quick ways to make your relationship stronger and more bearable. And there are studies that have shown that couples who have decided to stay together were glad that they did. And that's okay for them. But I think the only way that's going to work is that both people are actively working towards getting better. They're working together to stay together. It's not one person trying to carry the weight of the relationship on their back, so to speak. So, with the things can get better, that could be going to therapy. You all agree to go to couples therapy, individual therapy, or whatever it is you see fit or need to do to get back to where you all want to be as a couple. So then we have others have it worse. And this is some motherfucking bullshit because fuck that. All right. This doesn't mean your problems aren't valid, but sometimes it helps if we put our husband's shortcomings in perspective or your wife's shortcomings in perspective, which is true. You can't put it in perspective, but it still got to make sense to you. Okay. You can put it in perspective, and others having it worse don't have shit to do with me. They can have it worse. That's fine. They may think that what I'm going through is worse. I don't know. But what I will say is, I ain't ever stayed nowhere because others have it worse than me. Well, congratulations to y'all. But I'm out this motherfucker. But that's one way to look at it, to stay together. It seems like a minus will to me, but that's just how I'm receiving that. You may feel a different way. Another one is you can thrive after hard times. And marriages can definitely go through rough patches and money troubles, a sick child, job stress, just all kind of things. But if you're working together to move forward from those things, then you'll have a better chance of staying together. Children need their number one fan. Who else will gush over your children like you and your husband? Who would give his life for your child? And who thinks your kids are absolutely the most wonderful children on earth? You and your husband, partner, let me say this. You and your partner share a love for your children that benefits your kids tremendously. This is speaking in reference to this and bullshit too. Because just because I love my children don't mean that we need to stay together. But also because we love our children, we should try to stay together, you know. But again, I'm going to keep saying this through each and every one of them. Both people have to be on the same page about moving forward and actively making changes together and individually to stay together. This shit ain't one-sided. None of the reasons to stay married are one-sided. These are both people coming to an agreement that this is what we're going to do if we want to stay together. So then we have your children need one home. A recent study found that children are not equipped to handle the upheaval of living in two places, and I fully disagree with that. The researchers concluded that a parent separation and living in two homes can be stressful for children. Children feel torn between their feelings of loyalty towards their parents and their longing for a calm and stable everyday life. But the difference in this is, but what if staying together is not calm and stable? Then staying in one household is not going to benefit those children. And children adapt and adjust very well, by the way, to living in separate households. And while that loyalty thing, I think having a sense of loyalty comes from what they're hearing and experiencing from their parents. If you are hearing them talk bad about each other and they nagging and they doing all of that, then yes, or the kids are being made to feel guilty for wanting to spend more time with dad or more time with mom, then yes, they're going to have a difficult time adjusting to living in two households. But if you are actively working together to co-parent as effectively possible as you can, then this will not be an issue with them not being able to adjust and adapt to living in two places. I completely disagree with number 5. And number 6, you can fall in love again. The hot and heavy romance of early dating, new relationship energy, may never return, but you can learn and practice the ways the couple stay in love. In turn, they will help you and your partner feel cherished and make your marriage viable. But again, it's both people actively making moves and their actions are showing that they want to rebuild the relationship. That's how you can fall in love again. And sometimes separation is needed in order to fall in love again. If you still have feelings for, you know, your person, I don't. There is no reconciliation coming up through this motherfucker. All right. I love him because we got kids together and that's it. So, all right. So you'll grow as a person. Being married has taught me many things about myself. Yes, some good and some not so good. So as we go through the tough and the rough parts of marriage, we mature and grow, which is very true. I matured and I grew. And actually, I've matured and I've grown some more since separating. I'm understanding my faults. I'm understanding where my flaws were in marriage. I am understanding more where I dropped the ball, where I could have done a better job communicating a need, communicating a want, communicating a desire, and doing a better job of communicating that. But in order to do a better job of communicating, I had to have an understanding that I wasn't communicating effectively. And then once I started going to therapy, then I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. And I began to attempt to communicate better, but I was not receiving that. So it was just kind of all over the place. I'm going to say it through all 9 of these. You both people have to actively want to grow as a person. You have to see the change. You have to want to change. You have to have the desire to make changes to promote a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship. It's not going to work if you don't do that. All right. So we have number 8, you are your child's role model. So this was Psychology Today. It says, our children need to see us work through life's challenges. So by working on our marriage, we can show our children the healthy way to communicate, the process of working through problems, and the place forgiveness holds in both, and the place forgiveness holds in relationships. And I agree with that. I do. And they can do the same thing when you leave too. They can see you work through life challenges. They can see you that you tried to work on the marriage, but it just didn't work. And you can show them the healthy way to separate, the healthy way to begin to co-parent, the healthy way to live a new life. And you can do the same thing when you stay together. And in all things, it takes both people to be the role model, to work together through the challenges, to work on the marriage, to show the children that there's a healthy way to communicate so the house isn't so tense, because they can feel that shit. I don't care what nobody say. Kids feel and understand way more than we give them credit for. So 9 is some bullshit, but it's the truth, but it's still some bullshit. Being a single parent isn't easy. So before you decide to leave your marriage, look at the logistics of your life and how those demands would work in a divorced family. Divorce affects not only children, but adults too. Consider how single parenting would affect you and your children. And I did all that and still decided to leave. Oh boy. I don't agree with number 9 at all. That's kind of like a scare tactic. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to be a single mother. You might want to turn that around and work that thing out with that man. Yeah. But if things ain't going, if things aren't working for either of us, staying just because I don't want to be a single parent, that shit don't work for me. It might work for other people and I wish them nothing but the best. And I hope that they, get out of it, whatever they are, you know, planning to get out of it. But nah, I'm good on that. I'm real good on that right there. Nah, I'm good. I'm straight on that. So at the end of it, we've come to the end of the learning part, the business. What does be business? It's bullshit-ish. It ain't bullshit, but you know what I mean. So I'm going to go through the 9 reasons to divorce again. Then I'm going to go through the 9 reasons to stay married. And then we're going to move on to the audacity segment, which has become one of my favorites, actually. All right, so remember, we're talking about should you leave or stay. So, reasons to leave: a lack of love and affection, marrying too young, differing needs in the bedroom, infidelity, contempt, emotional or physical abuse, drug or alcohol abuse, financial issues, or growing apart. Okay. 9 reasons to stay married is things can get better. Others have it worse. You can thrive after hard times. Children need their number one fan. Your children need one home. You can fall in love again. You'll grow as a person. You are your children's role model, child or children's role model. And being a single parent isn't easy, which is facts. It ain't easy, but I'd much rather do this shit than to be there and be miserable. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay, so we're going to pause for the calls. to get this ad in here, and then I'll be back with the Audacity segment. All right, so we back. And this is the Audacity segment where I read Reddit ridiculousness as stories. And this is Am I the Asshole? Okay. This one is kind of funny, but it's not, but it is. Okay. So she writes, Am I the asshole for getting up and walking out of the dinner when my boyfriend said that he forgot his credit card? So I, female 32, have been dating my boyfriend, male 36, for 9 months. He has two little children who love going out to eat. We go out to eat once a week, and each time he happens to forget his credit card to make a payment. I'd obviously end up paying since we had the kids with us, but honestly, it left me broke this month and the month before. I just received my payment for my second job, part-time. We agreed to go out together with the kids, and I even sent him a text reminding him to not forget his credit card. He laughed it off. At the restaurant, At the restaurant, we had ordered dinner, and he let the kids order lots of new stuff on the menu, which was expensive. Before we started eating, I mentioned his credit card just to make sure he didn't forget it. He looked at me shocked and then started searching his pockets for a while. He then looked at me in a sorry way and said, Guess I forgot it in the other pair of jeans that I thought I was going to wear. Then asked me to foot the bill just this time. The food was on the table, but I didn't even get a bite. I grabbed my stuff and got up. He freaked out asking where I was going. I told him I wouldn't be paying this time again and to enjoy his dinner with the kids. Then I walked out. He called me later and absolutely lost it on me. He said that his kids couldn't believe I'd walk out and leave him and them in this situation. I said I wasn't going to pay for him and the kids' food every single time. It's unfair. He said he forgot, he yelled like that. And that I did not show sympathy for him and the kids, and he had to cancel and go home with the kids hungry since he couldn't pay right there and then. She meant right then and there. We got into an argument, and he's been mad at me about it since then, saying things like how he needs to take a look at how I'm treating the kids specifically and how I was willing to let them go hungry with my selfishness. And then she asks, Am I the asshole? Girl, hell no, you're not an asshole. Matter of fact, he's the asshole for trying to play you like that numerous times. And I'm glad you set that boundary. And I'm glad you got your ass up out that seat. And I'm glad you got the fuck up out of there. Let him be mad. Get mad and stay mad. Because at the end of the day, the responsibility falls on him as their parent to make sure that they are not hungry and fed. It would be a different story if the two of you had an agreement, that you had a conversation, an agreement that every time you, he and the kids went out, that you would foot the bill. But no, he is playing with you like he playing in your face, period, point blank. And them kids ain't said no shit about, oh, she mistreating us. Child ain't said that shit. You just saying that trying to gaslight your child. He trying to make you feel like you did something wrong because he couldn't play you this time. And don't talk to his ass no more. Because for what? Y'all been together 9 months. You already see what it's like. If you stay with his ass, you already know he going to keep playing like he forgot his credit card. And first of all, we not about to be eating out multiple days a week. You and your kids. We not finna do that. Matter of fact, I'm not about to be eating out multiple days a week because that shit gets expensive. Versus one person eating versus four. Nah, I'm not doing that shit. Absolutely not. Once or twice a week? Boy, you crazy. You better get some groceries in that goddamn house and feed them, or budget out with your money how much, you know, you need to, how much it's going to cost to feed them because you want to go out two or three times a week. You might want to figure your own budget out, because them ain't her kids. That's not her responsibility, sir. And that wasn't right for you to force her, pretty much, to try to force her this time, but force her the other time to pay. I'm glad she got up and walked out on your ass. Them little ugly ass kids will be fine. They're probably bad too. I ain't shit for that. Yeah, he on some bullshit. I'm glad she left. But what's really fucked up is him trying to make her feel bad for setting that boundary, which, you know, a lot of people do that. Try to make you feel bad for, you know, standing your ground because something they're doing is fucked up towards you. His ass will be all right. I bet you them kids still ate. He just trying to make her feel guilty. Anywho, that is that on that. I hope that you learned something. I hope that if you are struggling with trying to determine if you should leave or stay, I hope going through those 9 reasons to leave and those 9 reasons to stay, I hope that gave you better insight on whatever decision you need to make. Again, it is a very difficult decision to make. Please reach out to someone that you love, trust, and care about if you need to talk about it. There are hotlines. If you are working, you can use your EAP program to see if you can find some therapy or just get some insight on what your next step should be. You can set up therapy sessions as well. Do whatever it is you need to do to assist with the decision that you are wanting to make. Thank you all so much for tuning in again. Thank you for listening to my bullshit. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your ideas. Thank you for all of it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next week, you all have a good morning, a good evening, and a good afternoon.